Howdy, everybody. Dr. Andy Woods here, pastor teacher at Sugarland Bible Church. I'm back with my friend, colleague, fellow elder, associate pastor, Dr. Jim McGowan. This is Pastor's Point of View, number 301. Today is May the 17th, 2024. And boy, do we have an ambitious schedule today because the prophetic world keeps moving.
Amen to that.
You can see on our screen there the five-point outline that we're going to try to work our way through. A lot on the world against Israel, a lot on the Gog-Magog alignment, globalism on steroids,
yes.
Mark of the Beast technology on steroids, and we've got some more rumblings about Babylon in Iraq.
We sure do.
All of these are prophetically significant, as we'll seek to demonstrate. But let's go ahead and start with our first bullet point. The world against Israel. It's kind of interesting, Brother Jim. Israel this week had a birthday. I believe the modern state of Israel celebrated her 76th birthday.
Yeah.
Since her war of independence, May the 14th, 1948. And you would think the world would just kind of stop and say, the miracle on the Mediterranean, you know, praise the Lord for Israel. But there's nothing worse than having your birthday party ruined by people that hate your guts.
Yeah.
And it's like this birthday that she had, everybody is pushing it under, and they continue to move in a direction that's more anti-Israel. The whole world is doing this.
That's true.
And it's sad, but it's predicted. Can you remind us what those two Zechariah passages say?
Absolutely. Reading from the New American Standard 1995 update, Zechariah 12:3. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. And then in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle.
So the world is turning against Israel, and I would argue to a large extent the United States is fitting into that.
Boy, is that true.
Paradigm.
Yeah.
There's a story that broke, I think, last week, and this is just mind-numbing. It was on a lot of the talk shows, Sunday talk shows. That's where I learned of it. I think it was broken by the Washington Post. But anyway, I'm picking it up here from the Times of Israel. May the 12th, 2024, it says the U.S. said offering intel on Hamas leaders' whereabouts. In other words, we'll tell you where the terrorists are in Gaza. If there's a condition, if Israel drops major Rafah operation. Now, this is something that the Biden administration has been doing to the nation of Israel. Remember those terrible attacks that Israel endured October 7th of last year, coming from Gaza. Well, now we have the White House saying, hey, we know where the terrorists are.
Yeah.
But only if you prosecute this war according to our dictates will we tell you where those terrorists are.
Unbelievable.
It is unreal. So what's happening here?
The Biden administration has reportedly offered to give Israel sensitive intelligence on the whereabouts of senior Hamas leaders if it agrees to hold off on a long-promised major military operation in Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah. The Washington Post quoted four unnamed sources as saying that the United States, quote, is offering Israel valuable assistance if it holds back, including sensitive intelligence to help the Israeli military pinpoint the location of Hamas leaders and find the group's hidden tunnels. The White House National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby, quoting, we could also, in fact, he says, help them target the leaders, including Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, which we are frankly doing with Israelis on an ongoing basis. The Washington Post report came after two officials familiar with the matter told the Times of Israel on Friday that Sinwar is not hiding in Rafah, citing recent intelligence assessments that placed the Hamas leader in underground tunnels in the Khan Yunis area. U.S. President Joe Biden already withheld a shipment of high payload bombs last week amid fears they'd be used in Rafah.
Now, we covered that issue last week.
Yes, we did.
They're holding back weapons and things that they need, but
yeah.
Please continue.
The war in Gaza erupted with Hamas's October 7 massacre when thousands of terrorists burst across the border into Israel by land, air, and sea, killing some 1,200 people and seizing 252 hostages, mostly civilians, amid many acts of brutality and sexual assault. Vowing to eliminate Hamas, Israel launched a wide-scale military campaign in Gaza aimed at freeing the hostages and destroying the terror group's military and governance capabilities.
So what the Biden administration is saying to Israel is our intelligence knows where the mastermind of October 7th is and where these terrorists are hiding.
Yeah.
But we'll share the information with you if you prosecute this war according to our dictates, i.e. meaning you can't win it.
Exactly.
You know, you can't go into Gaza and root out Hamas.
Yeah.
And fix the problem.
Yeah.
You have to continue to leave Gaza, that little tiny area on the southwest border of Israel, as a terrorist cell within your own country.
Insanity.
Yeah. Mm. And so this is the position of the current administration. Now, I don't think that bodes well for us spiritually. Because can you remind us what Genesis 12, verse 3 says?
Amen, yes. Genesis 12, 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.
The one who curses you I will curse, and to Israel.
Yeah.
You know, and people are wondering why things in America aren't, you know, working as well as they used to.
Yeah.
Potentially this could be a part of the problem, don't you
think? Oh, I think that's it. Hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah. Now, this hatred for Israel, it's not just happening from the United States of America. It's happening from our businesses that are involved, our corporations, in sort of a boycott, divestment, sanctions mentality against Israel.
Yeah.
And to demonstrate that, look no further than this report from firstliberty.org. May the 13th, 2024, a Christian group that serves Israeli farmers was to host a pro-Israel meeting, but the hotel canceled reservations just days before the conference. Mm. This kind of hits close to home, Brother Jim, because we're in the process of seeking conference venues for our events, and we're concerned this kind of thing would happen to us once people understood where Sugar Land Bible Church stands on the Israel issue. But what's going on here?
Today, First Liberty Institute sent a letter to the Sonesta Nashville Airport Hotel urging it to fulfill its contractual obligations to HaYovel, a Christian ministry that was scheduled to hold a summit supporting Israel at the hotel next week. Quote, "It is un-American and illegal to cancel a gathering due to religious beliefs, and quite frankly, it is morally wrong," said Hiram Sasser, Executive General Counsel at First Liberty Institute. "The hotel must make the choice of standing with American ideals or pro-Hamas terrorists. We hope the hotel will quickly reverse its decision. It is HaYovel's religious belief that God promised the land of Israel to the Jewish people, that the Jewish people have a right to sovereignty over the entire land of Israel. HaYovel has organized and is sponsoring the Israel Summit, its first conference of pro-Israel supporters who unconditionally support Israel's right to be sovereign in the entirety of the land of Israel. The summit, scheduled for May 20 through 22, 2024, at the Sonesta, includes guest speakers from Israel and elsewhere, education on fighting anti-Semitism, and various events. The Israel Summit is touted as, quote, the first annual gathering of pro-Israel supporters who unconditionally support Israel's right to be sovereign in the entirety of the land of Israel, including Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the Gaza Strip. Speakers include members of Knesset Ohad Tal, former U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, journalist Carolyn Glick, international spokesperson for Hebron Yishai Flesher, President, CEO of the NRB, Troy Miller, and many others. The letter to the hotel states, you have denied HaYovel a public accommodation due to its religious beliefs. That is unlawful religious discrimination under Title II of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, 42 U.S.C., Section 2000A, and the THRA.
See, I thought we got over this a long time ago, that you can't discriminate against people based on their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening to this group that has the audacity to have a conference as part of the values that Jerusalem belongs to Israel, the Gaza Strip belongs to Israel, and the so-called West Bank belongs to Israel.
Yeah,
and so the
that.
Hotel, and I put love in quotes, of course, but you know, you think they would get some kind of warning way in advance that this might be a problem?
Right.
Days before the event, they just terminate
right.
the economic relationship and or the contract.
Yeah.
And if that's not a blatant violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, I don't know what is. But I know a lot of conference organizers who have had this problem from the conservative side of the spectrum for a long time. And it appears that this trend is accelerating. Would you add anything to that?
God forgive them.
Yeah. And it's not just corporations and businesses. It's not just the United States that's becoming more and more anti-Israel. There's a legal framework, a global structure coming into place
yeah.
that's institutionally anti-Israel. And to demonstrate that, look at this article here from the Jerusalem Post, May the 13th, 2024. It says the United Nations seemingly halves estimate of Gazan women and children killed. So the United Nations has been relying upon sort of magical numbers,
yes,
to put it mildly,
yeah.
Related to the Israeli reaction to what happened against them from Gaza October the 7th, and making it sound like Israel has just killed all kinds of people numerically, and those numbers just don't add up.
Right.
So what's happening here?
The UN published the number of fatalities reported by the Hamas-run Gaza Ministry of Health. And this comes after months of accusations from leading statisticians that the numbers produced by the Gazan authorities cannot possibly be accurate. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy released a report in January that showed major discrepancies in the fatality reports. The research concluded that such discrepancies were most likely caused by manipulation. Professor Abraham Weiner also told Tablet magazine that the rate of deaths was unnatural and climbed far too regularly. He concluded that in war, the pattern of deaths should be irregular, as the intensity of war is irregular. The UN reported that the number of deaths climbed by 15%, which is statistically impossible.
So all these numbers that you hear about all the human rights violations by the Israelis in Gaza, you really have to scrutinize exactly who's doing the calculations
yeah.
and how they're doing the calculations.
Absolutely
so,
right.
Surprise, surprise, the UN is sort of relying upon phony numbers in that regard.
Yeah.
And this institutional global hatred for Israel that the prophets anticipate for the end times is also demonstrated by this article from APnews.com, May the 10th, 2024, where the United Nations Assembly has now approved a resolution granting Palestine rights and reviving its membership bid. So they're about ready to give more power to this state called Palestine. And there's just two problems with that. Palestine has never been a state.
Yeah.
It's made up.
Make believe.
And number two, to get a seat at this body, you have to be a peace-loving nation. And
yes.
they're not that either. But other than those two things, let them write in. other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of mentality. But
exactly.
What's happening here?
The UN General Assembly voted by a wide margin on Friday to grant new, quote, rights and privileges to Palestine and called on the Security Council to reconsider Palestine's request to become the 194th member of the United Nations. The world body approved the Arab and Palestinian-sponsored resolution by a vote of 143-9 with 25 abstentions. The vote reflected the wide global support for full membership of Palestine in the United Nations, with many countries expressing outrage at the escalating death toll in Gaza and fears of a major Israeli offensive in Rafah. It also demonstrates growing support for the Palestinians. Friday's resolution gives Palestine some new rights and privileges. Under the UN Charter, prospective members of the United Nations must be peace-loving. The United States considers Friday's resolution an attempt to get around the Charter's provisions. Friday's resolution required a two-thirds majority of members voting and got significantly more than the 118 vote minimum. The resolution, quote, determines that a state of Palestine is qualified for membership, dropping the original language that in the General Assembly's judgment, it is a peace-loving state. Israel's UN ambassador, Gilad Erdan, vehemently opposed the resolution, accusing UN member nations of not mentioning Hamas's October 7 attack and seeking, quote, to reward modern-day Nazis with rights and privileges. He said if an election were held today, Hamas would win, and warned UN members that they were, quote, about to grant privileges and rights to the future terror state of Hamas. He held up a photo of Yahya Sinwar, the mastermind of the Hamas attack on Israel, saying a terrorist, quote, whose stated goal is Jewish genocide, would be a future Palestinian leader. Erdogan also accused the assembly of trampling on the UN Charter, putting two pages that said UN Charter in a small shredder he held up.
So a very lopsided anti-Israel international organization is about to get even more lopsided.
Yep.
As they're setting aside even their own rules to grant privileges and rights to the so-called Palestine. Well, with all of that being said, let's move to our second bullet point here, the Gog-Magog alignment. And I'm going to make some comments about Persia being Iran, Put and Kush being North Africa, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Tagarma being Turkey, and Sheba and Dedan being Saudi Arabia, and Rosh being Russia. And I don't have time to document all that. So to demonstrate that these nations are, in fact, the nations mentioned by Ezekiel in chapter 38. I recommend my book, The Middle East Meltdown, to sort of get a handle on that. But there is coming this great invasion from the north that's yet future. We see it described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And one of the principal players will be Persia, which you can see there on the map, or Iran, one of the leaders in this invasion. I don't think that is too difficult to envision, since it was Iran that just opened fire on Israel, launching missiles into Israel a few weeks ago. And one of the big subjects on the world stage is, well, when is Iran or Persia going to go nuclear?
Exactly.
And now we have the statement from a lawmaker declaring that they already are nuclear. They just haven't announced it yet.
Yeah.
So here's an article from Fox News, May the 12th, 2024. It says, Iranian lawmaker declares Tehran obtained already nuclear bombs. So what's happening here?
After the head of the United Nations Atomic Watchdog Agency warned that Iran had enough uranium to produce several nuclear bombs, a firebrand Iranian lawmaker declared on Friday that the Islamic Republic of Iran possessed atomic weapons. Quote, in my opinion, we have achieved nuclear weapons, but we do not announce it. It means our policy is to possess nuclear bombs. But our declared policy is currently within the framework of the JCPOA. Ahmad Ardestani told the Iranian-based outlet Ruidad 24 on Friday, according to an article published by the independent news organization Iran International in London. The JCPOA is an abbreviation for the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the formal name for the Iran nuclear deal. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
The article goes on and says, critics of the Biden administration's Iran policy argue the White House strategy of de-escalation and containment targeting Iran's atomic program has backfired. Iran's regime, the world's worst state sponsor of international terrorism, is moving at an astonishingly fast pace to secure an operational nuclear weapon. Nuclear security alarm bells are ringing over Iran's illicit atomic program in Europe. Fox News Digital obtained the April Intelligence Agency report from Germany's most populous state, Nordrhein-Westfalen. The German intelligence report notes, quote, "The Islamic Republic's continued intensive procurement efforts by Iran in Germany constitutes for its nuclear and missile program." The German experts added, quote, "Proliferation-relevant activities by Iran to circumvent existing sanctions in favor of Iran's nuclear and missile programs can still be assumed." David Wormser, a former senior advisor for non-proliferation and Middle East strategies for former Vice President Dick Cheney, told Fox News Digital, "We know that North Koreans have been interacting with the Iranians, and we know relations with North Korea go back many, many years. The communist state of North Korea previously aided Syria in building its illicit nuclear reactor. Israel's Air Force knocked out that reactor in 2007. And of course, the consequences of an Iranian bomb are catastrophic for the region, for Israel's survival, and for the status of American power in the globe." The Washington, D.C.-based Institute for the Study of War wrote, "This suggests that Iran has already obtained or is close to obtaining the ability to procure nuclear weapons."
So either Iran has this or she's on the precipice of getting it, which would explain her extremely bold behavior.
Exactly.
A few weeks back.
Yes.
Where she used to operate covertly.
Yeah.
But now the mask is off.
It's in your face.
She's firing her own missiles into Israel. Mm. It's kind of interesting how the article brings out the involvement of the North Koreans.
Yeah.
I guess they go around the world making sure all their allies are nuked up.
Yeah.
For students of Bible prophecy, this isn't a surprise because Ezekiel predicted a very aggressive Iran in the last days, and that's what we're seeing materialize. Now, some of the critics of our perspective say, well, we're not really that close to the end times because North Africa is not in place. There's no anti-Israel sentiments in North Africa.
Oops.
And so here's another map that we like to use. You'll notice in this particular one, we've got Rosh or Russia circled. We have Put or Libya circled, and then we have Kush or the Sudan circled. Now, we have in past programs documented the Russian presence in Libya.
Yes.
And now, surprise, surprise, right next door to Libya is Niger. And guess who just demonstrated a presence in Niger? None other than Russia.
Exactly.
And so North Africa is falling exactly into prophetic orbit. Mm. Notice this particular article from Yahoo.com, May the 3rd, 2024. Russian troops enter base housing U.S. military in Niger. And it's kind of interesting. Once the Russians showed up, what did the Americans do? They just hightailed it right out of there. So what's happening here?
Russian military personnel have entered an airbase in Niger that is hosting U.S. troops, a senior U.S. defense official told Reuters, a move that follows a decision by Niger's junta to expel U.S. forces. The military officers ruling the West African nation have told the U.S. to withdraw its nearly 1,000 military personnel from the country. The U.S. and its allies have been forced to move troops out of a number of African countries following coups that brought to power groups eager to distance themselves from Western governments. In addition to the impending departure from Niger, U.S. troops have also left Chad in recent days, while French forces have been kicked out of Mali and Burkina Faso. At the same time, Russia is seeking to strengthen relationships with African nations, pitching Moscow as a friendly country with no colonial baggage in the continent.
Now, this line here is interesting. At the same time, Russia is seeking to strengthen relations with African nations.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
What did Ezekiel predict? He predicted Russia and North Africa would invade Israel in the last days. What's a kind of a prerequisite for that to happen? An alliance between the two. And that's what you're seeing developing constantly.
Wow.
So this idea that, we're far away from the end times because North Africa is not in place yet. Think again.
Wow.
When you look at Russian involvement in North Africa. And let's put up our next map. We notice here we have Turkey circled. Turkey, of course, is a place where Israelis used to take their vacations. It was Israel-friendly, but now Turkey is falling perfectly into prophetic orbit. Notice this article from NBCNews.com, May the 3rd, 2024. Turkey halts all trade with Israel until a permanent Gaza ceasefire. In other words, no more trade for you, Israel, by the way, to the tune of $7 billion a year, until you prosecute the war in Gaza according to our dictates, Turkey says. So what's happening here?
Turkey will not resume trade with Israel worth $7 billion a year until a permanent ceasefire and humanitarian aid are secured in Gaza, it said on Friday. The first of Israel's key partners to halt trade over the conflict. Israel's uncompromising attitude and the worsening situation in Gaza's southern Rafah region, where Israel has threatened to launch a new offensive, prompted Turkey to halt all exports and imports, said Trade Minister Omer Bolat. Israel's Foreign Minister Israel Katz criticized Turkish President Erdogan's move announced late Thursday, saying it breaks international trade agreements and was, quote, how a dictator behaves. Turkey has denounced Israel's military campaign in Gaza, sent thousands of tons of aid for Gazans, and this week said it would join South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice.
Now, the joining of Turkey to South Africa's genocide claim before the International Criminal Court is something we covered, a week or two ago. But now Turkey has shut off trade with Israel. Every history class I've ever taken that I can remember, they always taught us that trade war is a first step towards physical war. I think that's what you see happening in Turkey, just like Ezekiel said would happen in the last days. Let's not forget Saudi Arabia, who we mention frequently. There's a map there with Saudi Arabia circled. You'll notice on that particular map there's no arrow from Saudi Arabia towards Israel. Why do we not have an arrow there? Because of what Ezekiel 38:13 says. Can you remind us of that passage?
Yes, sir. Ezekiel 38:13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil?
So one of the interesting things is when this invasion happens, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and Ezekiel names all of the players. One of the players that won't like it will be Sheba and Dedan or Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They'll protest the invasion. And a potential explanation for that is the Saudis have now, according to their own words, normalized relations with Israel. That's why they're protesting this invasion. And then something else has happened that I wasn't aware of. The Saudis are in the middle of being the key player that wants to bring world peace to our war-torn world.
Wow.
So here's an article from ArabNews.com, May the 13th, 2024, Saudi Dialogue Center in Lisbon, I think that's Portugal, hosts Global Peace Forum. So now we have a Global Peace Forum in Lisbon, and the Saudis are behind it. Mm. Well, maybe that's why they're protesting the invasion. They're in favor of world peace.
There you are.
So what's going on here?
The King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz International Center for Interreligious and Intercultural Dialogue, say that three times, is hosting a global dialogue forum in Lisbon, Portugal, from May 14 to May 16, the Saudi press agency reported. It serves as a platform for global political figures, intellectual leaders, and clerics to tackle issues of peaceful coexistence and sustainable development amid rapid transformations.
So I guess the point we're trying to get across is the whole Gog-Magog alignment is just crystallizing, whether you're talking about Russia, Turkey, Iran, Russia's presence in North Africa, the posture of Saudi Arabia. Can God be any clearer, Brother Jim?
I don't think so. This is astounding.
And at some point, you have to ask yourself this: what are the statistical odds of all of these things happening, you know, concurrently?
Amen, brother.
Well, let's keep it going here, because here's another thing coming into
There's
place.
There's more.
Globalism, one worldism. Mm. That's our third bullet point, and we use as a jumping off point for that Daniel 7, verse 23. Can you remind us what that says?
Daniel 7, 23, thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it.
So two things to understand about the coming dominion of the Antichrist. Number one, no borders, or they're unenforceable.
Insignificant.
Insignificant, if they exist at all. And number two, tyranny.
Yeah.
So that's the final form of Gentile dominion, which will exist over planet Earth, according to the prophet Daniel, before Jesus Christ himself returns. And we see that structure coming together constantly. Look at this article from the European Conservative, May the 7th, 2024, it says AFD politician, and I can't remember what that stands for. We looked it up ahead of
time. Well, it's a far-right group.
Supposedly a far-right political group within Germany. Mm-hmm. Here is a politician. She's 27 years old, and she's convicted for warning about gang rapes.
Yeah.
And I think she's talking here about Afghans entering the country. And all she's doing is reading government statistics as to why our borders policies here in Germany are not working. And because she went online, social media, communicating government statistics, now she's being prosecuted criminally.
Yeah.
So what's happening here?
Well, look at that wonderful picture of that young lady. That looks like a far-right agitator to me. Here's the article. The Alternative for Deutschland, again, I think that's what the AFD stands for.
There we go. Alternative for Deutschland, Germany.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here's the article. The Verden Regional Court in Lower Saxony has upheld a verdict against Rottenburg AFD leader Marie-Therese Kaiser for incitement to hatred. The 27-year-old was also found guilty in the appeal hearing on Monday of inciting hatred against Afghan local workers. For this, the politician now has to pay 100-day fines. In Germany, you are considered to have a criminal record if you are sentenced to pay more than 90-day fines. Mm. The charge was based on a post that Kaiser had spread on her social media accounts in August 2021. In it, she wrote, Afghanistan refugees, Hamburg SPD mayor for unbureaucratic acceptance, welcoming culture for gang rape. Among other things, the politician linked to an article showing the Afghans in Germany are particularly heavily involved in gang rape.
Now, this next part is interesting because this got the attention of Elon Musk, who actually saved Twitter, in my estimation, by returning it to a free speech concept.
True.
But he got wind of this, and what did he say?
The verdict has now also caught the attention of ex-CEO Elon Musk. He retweeted a post summarizing the punishment and wrote, quote, "Are you saying the penalty was imposed for repeating accurate government statistics? Was there anything wrong with what she said?"
So she's simply repeating government statistics that Afghans entering Germany have a greater potential to rape than
just stating the facts.
Well, that goes against the New World Order because we don't want borders. We want to take all cultures and kind of, you know, mix them together and not have, you know, clear border distinctions anymore. And by the way, we're also interested in totalitarianism. So that's why you don't get a talk.
Yeah.
You happen to read something, as true as it may be, that goes against our preordained narrative. That, in essence, is the New World Order coming together, not just in Germany, but the whole world.
And we certainly would not want to offend or hurt the feelings of the rapists.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, rest of the article. Before the district court hearing, Kaiser said, quote, "The mere mention of numbers, data, and facts is to be declared a criminal offense simply because the establishment refuses to accept reality. I won't let myself be silenced." Judge Heiko Halbfass saw things differently on Monday. Quote, "Those who attack human dignity cannot invoke freedom of speech. Kaiser deliberately created an image in the minds of others that led to hatred of a nationally determined group," the district newspaper reported.
Now, why doesn't she have free speech rights to say what she wants to say? Well, because the First Amendment is not applicable in Germany.
Exactly.
Let's remind ourselves what the late, great Thomas Jefferson said about the difference between the American system and the European systems.
Amen. This is one of our founding fathers.
Yes.
Here's what he said. "Comparisons of our governments with those of Europe are like a comparison of heaven and hell."
And this 27-year-old politician is in hell right now.
She is.
For simply stating the truth.
That's right.
So this is the New World Order. And part of the New World Order, we believe, is the whole issue of so-called anthropogenic climate change, which we think is largely being used as a pretext to bring in greater governmental control. Let's remind ourselves what Al Gore said in his book, Earth in the Balance, all the way back in 1992.
Yes, the great Al Gore. According to Al Gore, we must make the rescue of the environment the central organizing principle for civilization.
Yeah, and that quote is outstanding. And notice also this quote by Alexander King and Bernard Schneider, globalists, trying to figure out how do we bring the world under global jurisdiction. We need an issue.
Yeah.
And what did they say here?
"In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill."
Now, we always need to be concerned about the environment. We advocate environmental stewardship, but we also understand that crises have a tendency to be hyped beyond what the facts dictate because there's an ulterior agenda at
work,
a global control. Remind us what Genesis 8, verse 22 says.
God has something to say about it, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Genesis 8, 22, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease."
So the earth is going to go through natural cycles. Four of them are mentioned here. One of them is cold and heat, you know, regardless of human behavior. And so this is why Christians have always been a little bit suspicious of this sort of climate change alarmism. But we have to bring Christians into this. And so what we have to do is we have to put a Christian veneer on climate change. Keep in mind that the New World Order is a three-legged stool. There's an economic angle,
yes,
a political angle, and a religious angle.
Yes.
And who should we recruit and who should we get to bring in the religious angle to climate change and make it sound like climate change is your Christian responsibility? Who should we recruit to do that? None other than the Pope himself.
Who better than?
Yes. And so with all that being said, we have this article from Breitbart.com. Pope Francis, May the 12th, 2024. The world is nearing the breaking point from climate change. What's happening here?
Climate change has brought the world to the breaking point, Pope Francis asserted in his introduction to a three-day climate summit to be held in the Vatican in May. A firm believer in the climate crisis, the pontiff wrote that he has heartfelt concerns for our suffering planet, contending that the world in which we live is collapsing because of humanity's failure to adequately address the crisis. Curiously, Pope Francis has singled out the United States as particularly responsible for the climate emergency because of the irresponsible lifestyle of its citizens. Quoting, if we consider that emissions per individual in the United States are about 2 times greater than those of individuals living in China and about 7 times greater than the average of the poorest countries, we can state that a broad change in the irresponsible lifestyle connected with the Western model would have a significant long-term impact, the Pope said last October. The alert folks at The Pillar Catholic, an online Catholic news outlet, pointed out at the time that, in fact, quote, U.S. per capita emissions are less than 1.5 times that of China, adding that China's per capita emissions levels, quote, are significantly higher than the global average. In his introduction to the Vatican Summit, which will be held May 15th through 17th, Francis states that climate change is, quote, no longer a secondary or ideological question, but a drama that harms us all, adding that climate change manifests a tragic and striking example of structural sin.
Now, that expression, structural sin, I can't emphasize that enough, because what they're saying is the current structures of nationalism and the free market are sinful, and they have to be altered.
Exactly.
And they need the climate change issue to selectively use against Americans. They selectively targeted, as it says here in the article, United States citizens for their irresponsible lifestyle. But China, one of the world's greatest polluters as we speak, gets a free pass because they're okay. They're communist.
Yeah.
What we need to do is bring down the United States of America. And so this climate change mindset is one of the tools that's being used to lower the United States, raise the banner of communism and globalism worldwide. And Brother Jim, let me ask you, what are the Pope's scientific credentials to be addressing, you know, this kind of issue? I mean, what does he have any kind of academic training in meteorology or any of the hard sciences?
No,
he does not. I mean, he's just someone out there as the pontiff pontificating, so to speak.
Ah, yes.
Now, why is he being brought into this then? Because he's the one that's putting the religious veneer over this issue of climate change, because the New World Order is a three-legged stool.
And Pastor, he has 2 billion people under his control.
Yes, that's right. And Revelation 17, verse 15, talks about this one-world religion that he's now bringing in. What does that passage say?
Revelation 17, 15, and he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
So one-world religion of the last days, the pontiff putting a happy face, or a spiritual face, I should say, on we've got to all get out there and fight so-called anthropogenic climate change, which is a tool that's being used to economically bring in the New World Order. You put that together with the total clampdown of the rights of a politician to read stats that contradict the borderless government narrative, and you have the makings of the New World Order or One World Governance coming into existence, don't you?
And it seems that he's reading the same manual that Hamas is using, because the issue of using actual figures doesn't matter. You just make them up.
That's right. Boy, these people, they all have a tendency to read off the, as we say in church circles, the same hymn book.
I believe that's true.
The same song sheet. It's just, it's a different religion other than Bible-based
Christianity. Same songs, every verse.
Well, as all of this is coming into existence, we now have more evidence of the Mark of the Beast technology surfacing. What does Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18 say?
Revelation 13, 16 through 18, "And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the freemen and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell, except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666.
So at bare minimum, we're talking about a global cashless society in the last days that people will not be able to access without their right hand or forehead.
Exactly.
Now, we don't believe that that system is up and running yet, the Mark of the Beast, because we don't have the beast yet. But isn't it interesting how technology always seems to evolve, not opposite of what the Bible predicts for the last days, but in the direction of what the Bible predicts for the last days? So as evidence of this, notice this particular article from Biometric Update, May 7th, 2024, it says retail businesses racing, it's their words, not mine, toward biometric payments. We're going to see in a minute that these are palm payments. Sounds a little bit like right hand or forehead to me. Mm-hmm. Racing towards biometric payments to increase speed and security. This is all for your convenience.
Exactly.
What they don't talk about is the corresponding deterioration of privacy in the process. But what's happening here?
New deployments, technologies, and markets are driving the implementation of biometric payment system for in-store and online purchases. Qualcomm is launching a new palm payment terminal with Telpo. J.P. Morgan Payments to deploy Palm Biometrics also, and here's what they say about that. A release from the Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix 2024 says the event is expanding its relationship with J.P. Morgan Payments to enable customers to buy merchandise at retail outlets using Palm Biometrics or facial recognition. The biometric payments system will be deployed both in stores on the Miami International Autodrome campus and for online purchases. South Florida Motorsports, which organizes the Grand Prix, says the intention is to improve the retail experience for fans by reducing friction and time needed to make purchases.
So who's not in favor of reducing friction and time constraints?
Exactly.
I mean, everybody would be in favor of this. Now, notice this is in South Florida. And there's a tendency to look at these things and say, well, it's just a South Florida issue. No, folks, this is going on worldwide. In fact, all of these trends that we're talking about here are not just American trends. These are global trends. These things are even happening in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Can you continue with that article?
All right. This is under the heading of New Palm Payments Terminal Houses Qualcomm Chip in Telpo Hardware. Telpo says the biometric payment machines will simplify payment processes to reduce transaction times, leading to shorter lines and a more streamlined shopping experience. And then we have another heading here. Under this heading, the United Arab Emirates is also getting its first contactless palm recognition system in a patented technology from PayBuy, a fintech recognition service, in a patented technology from PayBuy. I'm sorry, let me try this again. The United Emirates Immigrant is also getting its first contactless palm recognition service in a patented technology from PayBuy, a fintech subsidiary of the major consumer technology holding group AstraTech. What makes the contactless biometric system unique is the magic of its scanning mechanism, which enables customers to, quote, effortlessly hover their palm over a device to make payments.
So you just hover your hand effortlessly, presumably ultimately the right hand maybe, over this device to make payments. Think of the expediency and think about how much time it's going to save you. And by the way, this is developing in Florida. This is developing in the Middle East at the United Arab Emirates. This is not the Mark of the Beast, but it sure sounds like we're moving in the direction of the mark of the beast. What say you?
I totally agree. Okay. Absolutely right.
So with all of that being said, let's go to our fifth and final bullet point, Babylon. Can you remind us what Revelation 17 and verse 18 says?
Yes, sir. Revelation 17, 18. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Now, the word city is polis, mm-hmm. where we get the word metropolis from. So it's a city that's the headquarters of some kind of religious system reigning over the earth. The city has a name. She's mm-hmm. called Babylon the Great.
Yes.
And what does Bullinger say in his commentary concerning this expression, Babylon the Great? Can you read just that last sentence there that's underlined?
Certainly. Quoting Bullinger, God says it's a city. He does not say a system or a religion, but a city.
So a specific city on planet Earth named Babylon.
Exactly.
The word Babylon is used about 300 times in the Bible. Babylon always means Babylon. You can look at our map here. It's that city in between the Euphrates and the Tigris. We have it circled there. If the Bible is to be literally understood, then a city will arise there. In fact, it's already there. It was never completely and fully destroyed,
true,
the way the prophets anticipate. And it will become the center of worldwide influence in the last days. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's a strange reading of the Bible because they've never heard this view before.
Yeah.
I have a book out called Babylon, The Bookends of Prophetic History, which will lead you to the thesis that Babylon means Babylon. There's no reason yeah. whatsoever to allegorize what Revelation 17 and 18 are predicting for the last days concerning
Amen.
The arising of ancient Babylon to be the headquarters of the Antichrist, which is exactly where the Tower of Babel once stood.
That's right.
Under Nimrod.
Yes.
Which was disrupted by God. But, you know, there's coming upon the earth the mere opposite, maybe not the opposite, but the mere image of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Babylon the Great will arise in the last days, become the center of worldwide influence, ruled this time not by Nimrod, but by the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And just as Nimrod's project was stopped, the Antichrist project will be stopped by the personal return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if we're right on this, we should see more and more things in the news related to the coming significance of the city of Babylon, mm-hmm. and actually we have that.
Yes.
Notice this article from thecradle.com, May the 9th, 2022. Now, it deals with Erdogan
mm-hmm.
of Turkey and his historic visit to Iraq, where he's prioritizing economy over politics, and he's showing up to talk about a system that is called the AIFAW project. It's a canal system
yes.
that will link the Persian Gulf to Turkey, and we'll show you the map in just a minute, but it goes right through Iraq, very near Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this is built and they have the plans in place to build it, suddenly, Babylon will have the canals that she needs to become a city that's known for navigable waters,
right?
As Revelation 18 anticipates. And this particular canal, and there's a dry canal, and there's an international canal being built connecting Turkey with the Persian Gulf. What that, in essence, is going to end up doing is economically empowering Babylon. So
absolutely
all of these
right.
people that say Babylon can never arise to the economic level that Revelation 18 anticipates are dead wrong.
Right.
Because the plans are already being laid. So what does this article say?
From the outset, the Sudani administration has prioritized implementation of Iraq's development road project, aiming to establish a network of railways and highways for goods transportation along neutral pathways for energy, oil, and electricity, and optical internet cables. The multi-billion dollar land corridor, principally designed and funded by Turkey, Iraq, Qatar, and the UAE, stretching 1,200 kilometers from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea, will significantly reduce travel time between Asia and Europe. With progress being made at Iraq's Grand Thaw port, already expected to launch 5 berths within a year, and an energy transport grid extending to Turkish ports, the focus remains on developing and securing a comprehensive land and railway transportation route. The Qatari and Emirati presence in the quadripartite agreement to implement the development road also illustrates the project's potential lucrativeness. While the source of funding for the ambitious $8 to $15 billion route remains vague, the Anadolu agency quoted Turkish Minister of Transport and Infrastructure Uraloglu after meeting with Emirati Minister of Investment Mohammed Hassan Suwaidi as saying, quote, "The UAE will make significant contributions to financing and operating this project." In early April, the Abu Dhabi Ports Group signed a preliminary agreement with the General Company for Ports of Iraq to co-develop the Grand Thaw port, any future expansion, and the economic zone adjacent to the port.
Look at that, Brother Jim. Babylon arising, just like the prophets of old anticipated.
Yes. The article ends with this. Abdul al-Mukhtar, who's the advisor to the Iraqi House of Representatives Agriculture Committee, notes that the ambiguity of the deal's requirements might be interpreted as a decision to allow Turkish supervision of water harvesting and irrigation mechanisms throughout Iraq, in accordance with Ankara's constant complaints about Baghdad's lack of proper management.
So Babylon in that region is going to be a beneficiary of this canal.
Wow.
And it fixes the irrigation nautical imagery problem. It fixes the problem of Babylon becoming wealthy, because this is going to save a lot of time as the nations will be traveling through Iraq to move from Turkey to the Persian Gulf. And so there's Erdogan of Turkey in Iraq recently, according to this article from The Cradle, discussing this very issue.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Jim, I listen to all this. I've got almost have goosebumps because I see all of these signs materializing simultaneously. Let's put up our review slide if we could. The world against Israel, the Gog and Magog alignment, globalism, mark of the beast, technology, the rise of Babylon. Brother Jim, do we have any good news to share with people?
Always and always. Titus 2:13. We're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus.
So there's hope in the midst of this.
There is.
Jesus has promised to come and rescue the church from the wrath of God before God's wrath hits planet Earth. And people can be tied into that promise simply by placing their personal trust.
Yes, yes.
Which is what believe in the Bible means, into the finished work of Jesus Christ for their personal sin.
Amen, brother.
And just like that, they're made right with
just
God.
Just like that.
Tied into wonderful promises.
Hallelujah.
Not the least of which is this rapture promise. The world is not falling apart. The world is falling into place.
Absolutely.
Things
right.
Things are growing, as the late Adrian Rogers said, gloriously dark.
Yes.
Just a few infomercials as we wrap up. I want to make you aware of the Andy Woods Ministries app, which you can find in the App Store. We put our recent content constantly on that app. Also, you can get Pastor's Point of View in podcast format. Just go to wherever it is you get your podcast, type in Andy Woods Ministries, and enjoy Pastor's Point of View in podcast format. Go to our website, andywoodsministries.org, and not only can you get our content there, but you can, on the homepage, sign up for the show notes.
Which are extensive.
Which are very extensive. I mean, you see how we had to rush through these, and we could...
We barely scratched the surface.
Barely scratched the surface. Yeah. And you can get these. These will be delivered to your inbox every time we post a Pastor's Point of View show. And so you can have the links and access these articles on your own. If you're curious or interested in seminary training, I recommend the school that I'm the president of, Chafer Theological Seminary. Go to chafer.edu for more information. Our journal is now out, Pneumatikos. We encourage people to access that. And finally, I am going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma next week, May the 24th and the 25th. That's a Friday and a Saturday for the Mid-America Prophecy Conference, featuring notables such as Brigitte Gabriel, Dr. Job Martin, Dr. J.B. Hickson, Philip Goodman, and others. And so we're looking forward to seeing a lot of our friends in Tulsa, Oklahoma next week, May Amen. The 24th and 25th. That's all we have for today. We hope that you have enjoyed today's pastor's point of view, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.
God bless.